Hi, Stevie.
Sky?
Yeah, how have you been?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. It's glad to have you on the air here at 88.5 KCSN.
Oh, thank you.
You've got a new DVD. It's more than just a DVD in the sense that this is sort of a personalized documentary that really gets into not only the making of In Your Dreams, but some of your own visions, I guess, that went into the music as you saw it. One of the things I read when you talked about the making of the DVD is that that year was one of the best years of your life. What was it about that year that gave you this sense of joy and that great feeling that you had?
Well, I really have to, you know, I just have to blame it, the whole thing, on Dave Stewart, because he just, the day he came, I called him and I said, you know, would you be, I'd just come off of Fleetwood Mac Tour 2009, December 18th, I think, and I went home for Christmas to Phoenix, and then I came back to L.A., and I ended up getting wrapped up in the Grammy thing, the Taylor Swift Grammys, and So I said, okay, I'm going to do that. So that ended, you know, and I, right when that was over, the next day, I called Dave Stewart, and I said, listen, I've written a song that has made me want to do a record. Since Trouble in Shangri-La, I didn't want to ever do another solo record because I was just so completely bummed out by the whole state of the music business. And this is in 2000, you know, like one when I made that record. It's a long time ago now. But then I was really feeling the advent of the effect that the computers and the internet was having on our business, and so I said I'm never making another solo record. I mean I'll work with Fleetwood Mac, and if they make a record, that's one thing because they're a much bigger entity than me, so maybe they'd have more luck. But I'm not going to make another solo record, and I didn't. And then when I was at the end of the Fleetwood Mac tour, I wrote this song called Moonlight that I just loved. And I came home, and before the Grammys, I sat with a young, in her 20s girl that played violin that's a friend, really good friend of mine, and she and I did a acoustic piano and violin rendition of Moonlight. And I just said to my sister, you know what, I'm ready to make a record because I love this song so much, and I'm not 25, so I can't just put this acoustic song out on the internet, since A, I don't have a computer, and B, don't believe in it. So I'm going to have to do a record to back this song up. Otherwise, I can't put this out. So I'm ready to do a record. And that's really when I said, I think I'm going to call Dave Stewart. So this happened in Australia when I said, I think I'm going to call Dave Stewart. So I did, and I.
And
said
it was
to him,
a day. It was a day before, so Dave got to call literally the day
right after.
After
Grammys. and I said, so. I think I want to do a record, Dave, and we've talked about it, you know, a couple times since like 1985, and how do you feel about that? You want to come up to my house? And he said, sure, I'll come up. So I think he came up the next day, and I have a really big, beautiful house that you see in the movie. And I don't really live in that house. I have an apartment that's close. But all my stuff's here, and I've owned this house since 2005. So a lot has happened here. And I said, if you want to do it, why don't we just make it here instead of paying $2,700 a day to go into the kind of studio we'd want to go into? And he said, well, darling, I mean, we've got a fireplace and a view of the ocean. Let's definitely do it here. And so much cheaper. And I said, okay, and you know what? We just started. I mean, I think he went home, told his family he was going to start doing a record with me, and we're going to make it at my house. And it all began so quickly. And I knew 2 days in that this was going to be such a fun experience for me because, you know, Dave just doesn't have... he's not dramatic. He is dramatic, but he's dramatic in a really funny, comedic. Basically, he just walks in the room and you start to laugh.
Right.
And some people have that quality, you know. And he has that English Beatles, you know. He's like he floats in on a yellow submarine.
Right.
And I just was like, you know, what a joy it is to be around this guy. It's so different than anybody I've ever worked with.
Thank you.
many of your songs have always had such a personal quality and you know, deep into your own imagination that you probably did feel a little vulnerable at first with a guy basically saying, okay, our task for today is to make this a song. So it had to probably take a real mindset change for you to go, now?
Well, it did. However, he does it in such a kind and sweet way that you don't get the feeling that if you say three chords into it, I don't like it, he's going to say, he's going to get up and storm out. He's just going to go like, cool, let's try something else. And that is exactly what happened, except that actually it's not what happened because he never did play a chord I didn't like.
Hmm.
So I said, okay, well, that's easy. And that just made me go, I now understand, and I've said this already so many times, now I understand why Paul McCartney and John Lennon wrote together when they didn't have to. And all the famous songwriting teams, Carole King, Jerry Goffin, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein. It's like you think about all the really great songwriters that didn't really have to write with other people. And I'm going, so this is life-changing. Right now, this is life-changing. And we've only been doing this for 3 days.
There was a trust.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, part of the DVD obviously shows something that remains fascinating to a lot of your fans and to listeners alike, that, you know, they get to see this process, but you talk about the joy and how things had an immediacy to it. You've been on the other end of that, you know. There's been legendary tales of how long Fleetwood Mac might stay in the studio, and I assume this was a contrast to some of those pretty arduous sessions, a year at one point?
Except for the first one, except for Fleetwood Mac, which took 3 months. And, you know, it's interesting because Buckingham Nicks took 3 months, Fleetwood Mac took 3 months, and Belladonna took 3 months. That was it. Every other album that any of us ever did took at least a year. But this album, I mean, but those were long years.
Yeah.
This album was a year that flew by and seemed like 2 months.
We could pack more than 24 hours a day into a day back in the time we're talking about.
Yes.
And
you know, it was a whole different can of beans. I mean, really. Because this was, you know, Dave didn't come into this house with any baggage. I didn't come downstairs to the living room with any baggage. We didn't have a bunch of old bad memories and you know, bad experiences and arguments and stuff that would, you know, that could tie into anything that you're doing now that you could say, well, you know, remember, in 1987 you did this and it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And so none of that ever happened. We didn't have any of that. So, and everybody that we brought in to work with us, from Lori Nix and Sharon Silani, my singers, to Dave's people, you know, we call them, you know, my posse and his posse, to all of our entourage together, we only had people in here that were on that same really high level as we were, which was, we are going to have the best time we've ever had, and we are never going to make this work. This is going to be the 1 year of our life where we're going to make a record, and we are going to laugh every day, and we are going to break at 7 o'clock and have a marvelous home-cooked dinner, and we are going to talk about the world and politics, and we're going to gossip, and then we're going to go back to work for 2 or 3 hours. And it was like, we made a pact that this was going to be a joy. And, you know, of course, you never know whether your pacts will come true or not, but it did come true. And it seemed to fly by, and it seemed like every day was just the best day. When I really realized it was over, my sister-in-law, Lori, she lives in Phoenix, but she lived here for the whole year. And so did I. I actually lived in the house for that whole year. And when she walked down the stairs with her suitcase, and I knew she was getting in her car to go drive back to Phoenix, and it was really done. That signified, it's really done. Lori's going home. I just sat down on my stairs, on those big, beautiful stairs, with my tiny little sad dog, and we just cried.
Be a part of a great romance, still forbidden, still outrageous. Only a few around us knew, but no one said a word. It was contagious.
Because of the release of this DVD, not only you, but a lot of your fans get to relive and see this document of the process and the
right.
joy you had. But also, you know, much as we always come to expect from you, you also have added elements in there of the imagination of Stevie Nicks. You've always been one who has that mythical, mystical quality that you like to invoke these great images. And how did a lot of those ideas come to fruition and adding them into the elements of the DVD itself? Because there are a lot of, well, you might call them fantasy scenes, you might call them surreal scenes.
Right.
How did those all come to be part of the DVD?
Well, you know what? It really was like you got, you, this is what it is, you get what it is, you get it. This, it's just what happened. You know, we never said take two. There was never, you know, even in the point where we were 5 months into it, where Dave brought in just a really nice man who with a smaller, really, really great camera that could film in low light, that was, you know, became absolutely invisible. You never, because first of all, we were all filming, and that was insane, because everybody was like, you know, Cecil V. DeMille.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and then we had a guy who we really knew was really excellent, and Dave Stewart himself really knows how to film women, because he started filming Annie Lennox, you know, 100 years ago. And they both really have an eye for filming women. And that was what made me and all the girls here just stop worrying about it. And just let it kind of flow the way it was. Nobody was worried about it. I mean, you know, it's like, try to sit up straight. And if you don't sit up straight, it doesn't matter, because you're still going to look great. And we all trusted from the beginning that that was what they were going to do. And so everything that unfolded exactly the way it happened. We never planned anything. Nobody ever said, okay, we're going to film, this is going to be a scene, and we're going to film. We never did that. The whole movie is just really what happened every day. And Dave's team took a year to take it from a year down to 3 hours. And then the following year, I went in, my assistant Karen and I went in with his editor Shane, and we took about 3 months. And in here, in the same living room where I'm sitting right now, looking at that fireplace, edited the rest of it. And that was on Dave Grohl's advice when I had done an interview for his movie in January, and I said, I'm so sad because I feel like the record is dead. And he said, did you film it? And I said, yeah. He says, is it done? And I said, it's not fully edited. And he said, well, go home and call Dave Stewart right now and get this thing out, because he said, this is the only way in our time today that you will be able to give In Your Dreams a second run for its money, is if you put that film out.
And it speaks to a desire by not only young people, but all ages of fans now, that they do seem to require, you know, at least on two levels, if not more levels, of sensory impact. You know,
yeah.
Sitting still and listening to a whole album, it's arduous for so many people. Not for us, but for a lot of people.
So
one of the things you did do in the editing process, which I don't know how, you know, when you go through the process of including a lot of photos, both from your childhood and your life and some of the backstage shots and the things that, you know, those elements that capture a place and time, how protective of those ideas are you, and how vulnerable do you feel when you start to say, okay, I'm going to show this? And I'm sure every one of those pictures and those scenes, they have ideas and meaning to you.
And a lot of those came, you know, from my mom passed away not long before that. And so she left us a treasure trove of stuff that we did not have.
Wow.
And so we were able to go through a lot of that stuff and pull all those amazing pictures of her and me when we were little, and my dad and I at the bar, at my dad's bar when I was like four, you know, stuff that we didn't have. And that was like, oh, my God. And I, you know what, and mysterious as I may be, all that stuff, I was delighted to share that with everybody. I was so proud of all that stuff and so proud that my mom had kept such an amazing treasure of stuff for me, because she knew that I would share it with the world. You know, she kept all the Buckingham Nicks stuff. She kept everything, and I didn't keep hardly anything. That stuff just got thrown away.
I'm guilty as charged in that regard as well.
It's like, thank God for your parents sometimes,
yeah.
You know?
You're going to be doing a signing tomorrow.
I am.
At Barnes & Noble at the Grove at 7 p.m., correct?
Yes.
So we're going to invite all our listeners to come out and join you so that they can have that personal joy of getting a DVD, having it signed by you, and sharing these experiences we've just discussed. We can't wait to get together again, have you come out and see our wonderful studios. We'd love to have you come by, and you can play DJ and play whatever you want, and we can have a great time. But for now, let's make sure that all of the listeners of KCSN head on out tomorrow night to the Barnes & Noble in the Grove, and join our special guest today, Stevie Nicks.
Are you coming?
I'll come, Stevie,
right,
of course.
All right, better.
I'll look for you there, and
okay.
And thanks for checking in with us,
You're
Stevie.
You're so welcome.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
It's Stevie Nicks, everyone.